This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are always excited when Steve Kerr comes on this show. We are extra excited that Steve Kerr is about to join us in 3 minutes for a few reasons, but this is one of them. I want everybody to remember what was going on the last time we saw Steve Kerr. It was Wednesday night. The Warriors had just lost yet another frustrating come-from-ahead game in the closing moments there against Houston. And there was the scramble on the floor and the foul call and the Jalen Green free throws, and the Rockets win by one. And then Steve Kerr went to the press media gathering, and we want to play this for you so you can be reminded of what went on and how potentially it was directed not just at the refs but at Dan Dibley. We'll see. You make the call. Here it is.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate, especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot, just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made, because that guy would have had feel and said, you know what, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
And that rant led to a change in the name of this show here on 95.7 The Game.
What do you mean?
Now Willard and the Elementary School Referee.
Gotcha.
Because that's what you are.
And I
have
been. That's
literally what you are. For how long now?
I've been...
113 years?
Probably 35 years, off and on. I started in high school, and as I matriculated through and I got older, I started refereeing primarily the elementary school level. Fourth and fifth grade. Yeah. I had your elementary school son.
You roughed a game for him last year.
I sure did, yeah. And you had prompted him to try to beg for calls, which I thought was funny the first time, but when he did it the seventh time, I almost had to throw you both out of the gymnasium. But yes, I am an elementary school official.
I would have loved that if you had tried. That would have been amazing.
You're gone, and take your father with you.
I'd have been like, hell no, we won't go. You don't have that kind of authority
here. I actually do, which is kind of fun. And normally you go to the coach, and you have the coach handle it. And that's a very, very rare circumstance.
You ever toss someone out of a gym?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. If a parent won't stop, you go over to the coach, and you say, Coach, I think that parent's with you. You're going to need to go over and talk to him because we're not doing that here. We're not doing that. We're not yelling at an elementary school ref here on a Saturday morning. And if it persists, then we got to go back over and say, got to go.
Mm.
He's got to go.
Anyway, you were saying.
I'm an elementary school ref, and I have been for a long time. And Steve's right. You have to have a certain amount of feel. And in that situation, they absolutely should have huddled and agreed to grant the timeout, but they didn't do that.
They didn't do that. And so it leaves the Warriors in a spot where they too, not like the 49ers level, but they too are feeling very frustrated right now with regard to how they finish games. They're scoring down the stretch. I'm going to ask Steve this. I'll tell you this because there's another one that just came out within the last hour. Steve is not going to comment on trade rumors, but he can answer this question. Has it gotten to the point of distraction because you cannot watch one NBA show right now that doesn't have a trade idea for the Warriors?
Right.
There's not one. Bobby Marks, ESPN, literally hours ago said, do you want to know who is a low-risk trade target for the Warriors if they're looking for a star? Ready for the name? Are you ready for the name?
I'm ready for the name, Mark.
Zion Williamson.
And he calls it a low-risk trade target?
Low-risk trade target because it wouldn't be as expensive as some of the other names out there. The Pelicans might be looking to move on, and he matches the salaries of Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Pajemski, and Kevon Looney, and says that would work. So we can play with that a little bit later because we're a sports talk radio show.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to throw names around with Steve.
But no, he can't comment.
No, but I do wonder. Look, they're professionals. They get it. All of that stuff. But it is getting overwhelming very early. We have still got a long way to go before the trade deadline.
$123 million left on his deal feels to me not so low risk.
Yeah,
with a guy who's got injury history.
No doubt.
My opinion.
Significant injury history. Let's do it. He's here. He's ready. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line. Time for Coach Steve Kerr here on Willard and Dibbs, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, but we wanted to start with this because we just replayed for our audience your press gathering after the Rockets game on Wednesday night, and when you finished it, by saying it was a call that an elementary school ref wouldn't make, I immediately wondered, do you know that when you're talking to us that one of us is actually an elementary school referee?
I had no idea.
Okay,
is
so
that true?
Dan Dibley has been doing it for 35 years. So, Coach, the floor is yours. You talk to him.
Would you have made that call?
Steve, I wouldn't have, and I'll tell you why. I do 8 games in a day. I'm kind of the Zach Zarba of Marin County CYO.
Not nearly as good looking. Take it easy.
Well, you kind of jump the bit because I'm both handsome and efficient with the whistle. But what I like to do, Steve, is I like to let the kids in this case, and I do a lot of 4th and 5th grade, I like to let the players decide it. And because I work alone, I don't have the opportunity to do what Mr. Kennedy and the crew should have done, which is huddle up, because he bursts in from the baseline with the fist. Meanwhile, the other two officials are looking at the play, doing exactly what the Dibber does up in the CYO. Is that where your frustration really stems from? The fact that, you know, Kennedy stole the call from the baseline while the other two were kind of letting it play out?
Well, you know, I said what I said after the game. Obviously, it was a disappointing finish. I just think in general those plays should not be called. I think Bill Kennedy's a great ref. He's a great guy, and I always feel bad after games if when I criticize refs, because these guys have the hardest job in sports. I mean, other than being a quarterback in the NFL, I think they have the hardest job in sports. But you know, my issue is that there's got to be feel with officiating. It can't be black and white. This is, you know, I've said this before. This is not tennis where you go to Hawkeye, the ball's either in or out, and everybody agrees. You know, I mean, we could have an argument on every single call that happens, or non-call in a basketball game. So these guys have really difficult jobs. I acknowledge that, and I just think the NBA is best served, and all of basketball, including elementary basketball in Marin, you know, it's best served when there's some feel. Like, let's, you know, it's that's just not a call that should be made. And I'm going to leave it at that so I don't rack up any fines.
I appreciate it, Steve. And, you know, coaches in our league don't get fined. But if you need me to don the stripes and get out there when Dallas comes to town, I need to start stretching now so I can make it the full 48.
I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Coach, I will ask you this. I wonder if is there anything that has sort of changed with your thought process on this? And I mean that with the view from 10,000 feet, because you told us last week that what you say in press conferences, you do think that out. That is somewhat strategic, and there has been at least three instances of discussing officiating in post-game press conferences. So why has it been more of a topic for you this year?
I'm not sure it has been more of a topic this year. I only really remember the Denver and this one. What was the other one?
I'm thinking of Memphis also.
I was a little upset that night. It's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, fair. I'm not saying it's unfair, but anyway.
Like I said, I'll tell you this. I think the game is in a much better place than it was a year ago, where the players were just manipulating their way to the foul line. We've done a really good job, the league has, of kind of eliminating that dynamic. And the game, I think the game is way better this year than it was a year ago. And so the one thing I say, the league is always trying to make it a better game, trying to improve the quality of the flow of the game, and I know that, you know, when I speak publicly, I am speaking to the league too, you know, and I think they know that, and I actually think that's somewhat appreciated. You know, as long as you do it in a tactful way and you're not crushing people, I just think we're all kind of, you know, working towards a better game, and it's really hard because, as I said, the NBA, every single call, there's gray area on, and what I think is a foul, you're going to think it's not, depending on, you know, what side we're cheering for, what side we're on. So this is really difficult stuff.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the benefit that the game has gotten from refs kind of letting them play, and without being critical of the officials that night, do you think that the Rocket game maybe is too far in the other direction in terms of the allowance of physicality?
Yeah, I do think it got too physical in that game. And I thought, you know, and that was one of my comments afterwards was, if it's going to be that physical, then how can you possibly call that, you know, that play at the end? And so you want it to be consistent. That's the main thing. You want to know what's happening. But, you know, there's always, the league is always evolving, and, we, you know, the officiating is evolving with it. And as I said, I feel good about, you know, the league's handling of everything and how they you know, want the game to go to a good place, and that changes from, you know, era to era, from even from year to year. And like I said, they do a good job of collaborating.
Steve Kerr with us, as he is every week, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, I look at what is, and I wonder if you actually would use the word trend, but it feels like a little bit of a trend that you guys are having a hard time getting buckets in the final 2-3 minutes of games when the game is close. What do you see as to what is preventing the scoring down the stretch?
Well, I think Steph had great comments after the game. You know, as always, he took accountability because that's what Steph does. You know, whether anything is his fault or not, he's always going to, you know, stand up and say, hey, I take responsibility for this. But, you know, what he said was we have to be better organized. We have to get certain go-to sets. We have to really be comfortable with what we're what we're doing with the personnel that we have. And I think he's dead on. And the beauty of Steph is that, you know, he's one of the only superstars in sports who can just say that so authentically, so genuinely, so non-threateningly to anybody. There's no controversy. Nobody's writing stories today or yesterday about, you know, Steph Curry calls out his coach. It's just genuine collaboration. It's the beauty of Steph. Along with lots of other stuff. But he is an incredible partner in all of this. And the reason I'm so confident that we are going to get through this is because we're going to collaborate. You know, today's practice was really dedicated to situational stuff and talking details on, you know, end of game actions and what we're trying to accomplish and who needs to be where. And I have a lot of accountability in that as the coach. I've got to make sure that that we are really efficient down the stretch in closing games. And so, you know, we Steph and I are aware. Draymond's aware. You know, we have to do this together. We got to figure it out, and that's the plan. It
looked like most of the offense was Steph and Draymond screen and rolls down the stretch in that Houston game. Is there more space for Jonathan Kuminga to get the ball and kind of create on his own late in games in crunch time spots?
Well, we saw that in the last Houston game at home when Steph and Draymond were out, and that was definitely a great option, and that can still be an option for sure. But you know, to be fair, like if we have Steph and Draymond on the floor, we're going to go to them. I mean, that's they are our best option. We know that they've run that pick and roll for a decade. They've won championships doing that. That's the best option. There are other options for sure. JK in that situation is an option. There are other things we can do, but our bread and butter is going to be the pick and roll with Steph and Draymond. Everybody knows that. But we've got to do a better job of building the rhythm within it and making sure guys are in the right spots around them and then executing from there.
So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about Kuminga then with what you just said and the fact that you recently had a couple of games ago, right? Draymond to the bench and Jonathan into the starting spot. And it feels like the organization is sending the message that they want to at least feature him a little bit more. Is that true? And what have you said to him about what that move means?
Yeah, that we are giving him more opportunity for sure, and that's the plan. You know, I mean, I think you guys are well aware. I mean, we've been experimenting with we've had 13 different starting lineups this year, and the tricky part of all this, to get cut right to the chase, is Draymond's best as a four. And if Draymond's the four, it's hard to play JK at the three. And so, you know, in order to maximize JK, you have to slide Draymond to the five to give JK the space that he needs. And that means we're taking Draymond out of position. So we're experimenting with all of this. And it's not easy. It doesn't just fit hand in glove to be able to accomplish both. And so that's part of what we're experimenting with, and that's part of what we're looking at with different lineups.
And does that directly or indirectly affect Trayce Jackson-Davis, who started a bunch at five early, and then Loon came in, and now TJD had a game where he didn't even play at all? Is it just a case of rotations, or is TJD kind of struggling here in year two?
No, Trayce is playing great. In fact, I thought he was really good the other night. I didn't play him the previous game against Minnesota, but the last game clearly presented a need for him because of their switching defense and their athleticism. We needed his finishing ability, and he got a couple buckets inside in that first half that were important for us. Running the floor was important for us. So it's just the domino effect of, you know, JK playing the four, Draymond playing the five, that leaves fewer minutes for Loon and Trace. And sometimes it's one or the other. And we have to sort through all that. We also have to sort through, what does it mean for Draymond playing the five heavy minutes? I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot, you know, to have to battle Şengün down there, you know, all game on the low block, and then handle more responsibility, you know, offensively as the guy at the top of the floor, you know, running the dribble handoffs and the pick and rolls. It's exhausting doing all of that. And so these are all factors that we talk about every day organizationally and what it means.
Steve, any silver lining to the loss the other night in that it creates a home environment over this weekend, more rest, no chance of that extra game that's not in the standings? Has that thought even crossed your mind a little bit?
Yeah, but it's overwhelmed by the anger that comes from not being in Las Vegas playing in the NBA Cup tomorrow. I mean, we were dying to win that thing, and we were, you know, I thought we played well enough to win. We didn't play great in Houston, obviously, but we battled and played really well defensively and should have closed that game out. And so that makes us pretty angry. Now, the flip side, you're right. We have one game in the next week. We'll have today we practiced. We'll have three more practices in the next like 5-6 days. That's almost unheard of. So we have a chance to really confront, you know, some of the issues that have been holding us back and have kept us from winning some of these close games.
Quick aside, Steve, when you go to Vegas, are you a gambler? And if so, what's your table game that you prefer?
I used to be. I used to love to play blackjack, and now I'm an old man. I don't even bother going to the tables. I go right to the room and go to sleep at about 8:30.
I will let you
that's
know,
not,
Steve.
That's not a fun answer, Steve.
No, but I just so you know, I go to those tables still sometimes when I'm there, and there are plenty of old men there.
All right, old boring. I'm an old boring man.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to weigh in on what to do when you have 16 and the dealer has a 10 showing? How do you handle it?
Oh, hit every time.
Every time?
Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, you know, if you haven't seen any face cards in a while, you might hold off. But I'm generally a let's go for it guy.
Love that. Yeah. Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, as he is every single week. Okay, what about Clay coming back again this weekend, and emotionally how that might compare to the first time that he came back?
No hats for Clay this week.
Yeah,
no hats.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're always going to look forward to seeing Clay for sure. So we're excited to see him, but it's good to have the emotion of the first game behind us.
No doubt, and you know, part of the fun of the NBA season for us anyway is to talk about the what if, and part of that is the trade rumors that are constantly swirling. Without addressing any of the ongoing machinations that are out there, as a coach, is it something that you find distracting, or is it something that you even address at all with the team privately or collectively as we get closer to trade season?
It gets to be a little bit of a distraction in February, but really at this point, there's nothing. I know there's plenty of rumors and all that stuff, but as far as being a distraction for the team or me, you know, addressing anything, I don't see anything until February when it gets real. So it's not an issue.
Steve, how's Andrew Wiggins doing?
He's feeling pretty well. He'll be questionable for Sunday. We had a light practice today that he took part in, but it was mostly walkthrough and shooting and kind of 5-on-0 stuff. So we'll see how he's doing. I mean, if we feel like it makes sense to give him, you know, that Sunday off, because that'll mean a whole, you know, week or 9 days rest, then we'll do that. But that'll be up to the training staff.
Pods has kind of had an up and down year, and especially scoring the basketball, but everything else in his game has been pretty rock solid. Where is he at right now in his year two development, especially when it comes to his outside shot?
Well, the shot's starting to fall a little bit more, as you can see, and that's exactly what I expected. You know, he's a good shooter, and I think over the course of his career, he's going to shoot a good percentage. I think Brandon is a hell of a player. He's tough. He's physical. He's someone who we really trust, you know, with the game on the line. I had him inbound the ball the other night at the end of the game because I know he's going to make a good decision. I think Brandon is in a typical place for a second-year guy where he's still figuring out who he is as a player and, you know, his place on the team, his place in the league. That takes time. You know, you have to experiment. You have to take risks. You have to make mistakes. And so he's going through all of that stuff and, you know, kind of processing where he is and what kind of player he's going to be.
Steve, this is totally off subject, but we wanted to ask you, and if memory and the internet serve correctly, famously when Scottie Pippen wouldn't go into a playoff game there at the end when a play was being drawn up for Tony Kukoc, you were on that team, right?
I was, yeah.
What do you remember about that night?
I remember that Phil Jackson walked into the locker room and basically addressed the team briefly, and he said, Bill Cartwright is going to address you guys. Bill was in his 16th year, I think, one of our captains, and Bill addressed it, and it was one of the most powerful moments I've ever experienced because Scotty was a champion and beloved and, you know, everybody's favorite teammate, and he just kind of lost his mind for a second. And it was a bizarre moment. I think Scotty had so much equity that we forgave him because we knew who he was, what kind of heart he had, what kind of competitor he was. We recognized the fact that he had, frankly, just kind of, you know, lost his cool and made a huge mistake.
So, Steve, the reason I'm asking, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but the 49ers last night in Thursday Night Football had one of their linebackers just walk off the field and tell the coaches he did not feel like playing when there were other linebackers playing through injury out on the field and others who had been knocked out of the game and they really needed him. So that's kind of why the subject is fresh for us. And we as fans and media are sort of working through what that does to a teammate when one of your teammates won't go in there for their brothers. So thought it'd be interesting to get your reaction to that.
Yeah, I just think that so much of it is based on you know, the player's history with the team. You know, if in our case with Scottie Pippen, we knew what Scottie was about, and we recognized it was just an awful mistake, but one that we were willing to forgive because of who he was and what he had meant to the team and what kind of teammate he had been his entire career. So I just think it's one thing if it's you know, a one-time deal, a guy had a bad night, you know, having a bad day at home, whatever, or is it a pattern? Is it a, you know, some, you know, that, so it's really up to every team to figure that stuff out.
All right, so Steve, just to recap, no issue with elementary school refs, right?
No, actually, I'm a big fan because I hear they let the kids play ball.
Yeah, Steve, and if you want to come out and vent, if you're feeling any frustration, I'll be at St. Vincent's in Marinwood every Saturday in January and February. I'll give you a good seat down low, and you can just let it rip, Steve.
Yeah, we got good tickets, yeah.
I'm going to come out and heckle you so bad. It's going to be so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Coach, if you actually do, please.
Oh, my God.
Please. I don't know. Whatever. I don't even know what I could do for you, but I'm willing to negotiate that if you would do that.
Just to get you ready, I call traveling about as often as the NBA refs do, so don't ask for a travel call because we don't believe in traveling in the fourth grade.
I'll tell you what I can offer, Coach. I'll make swordfish stir fry for you.
There you
on
go.
Me.
I can do that on my own.
That's a good point. That's good. All right, I'll keep trying. Thank you, Coach.
All right, Steve.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. Steve Kerr, swordfish stir fry, elementary school refs, and go in the game when your team tells you to.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Said Scottie Pippen just lost his mind that night. Yeah, Devondre did too.
When he used the perfect word to describe why it was okay, and the word is equity. At that point, yep. Scottie Pippen was a three-time champ, and it wasn't okay in the moment, but P.S., they won that game to cut the series lead to 2-1. They ended up losing in 7 to New York, but he had the equity built up, and well, Devondre Campbell does not have that equity.
That, and even with that equity build up, I love hearing him say, Phil walks into the room, says, Bill Cartwright's going to talk to you, 16-year vet in the league, and Steve called it still one of the most memorable moments of his entire career listening to that speech. I mean, it just, and in an odd way, I don't even know, like I came in today going, you know, there's a piece of me that goes, we don't even need to talk about this. There is nuance. There is intrigue. I think it's interesting to hear the players talk, but it's also maybe one of the most black and white opinions I've ever had in my career of sports talk radio. Like, dude, you're gone.
Yeah.
This is absolutely unequivocally unacceptable at all levels, what Devondre Campbell did last night. And so when someone with the equity of Scottie Pippen does it, and it still leads to the 16-year vet going, it's time for a come-to-Jesus conversation after the game, I think it gives you a window into what, like, how deeply this cuts teammates when you do something like that.
Yeah, and you have Bill Cartwright step up, who at the time was 36, and he's a very stately, formidable presence at 7'1". He's kind of a professorial at that time, and I'm sure he said, you know, look, Scott, this is not something that we do. It's not something we can ever do again. And just listening to Steve and remembering Pippen and the Devondre Campbell had me thinking a little bit about Blake Snell. And this is a little bit of a different comparison because their season was over and Blake Snell, it was his turn to pitch. And he said, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to pitch, which is weak sauce, but he's not hanging anyone directly out to dry.
Whoa.
Like, I mean, if nobody else was able to pitch and you didn't have another pitcher,
right,
then it's a whole nother situation. Or if he, at the last minute, you know, went out there to take the ball and really, you know, after his warmups, he's like, nah, I'm good.
I do think there was some of that.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's what bothered the Giants even more than the example that you're bringing up. As I was told, there are a couple games, first, second inning. If we go back, and I'd have to look at games where he came out, but early when he was coming back from that injury, and he would tell Bob Melvin, take me out, and just tax the hell out of the bullpen,
yep,
and all that comes with it. And so if you do scratch your head as to why Blake Snell is now a Dodger, just know no tears were shed by the Giants. They would not have, if Blake Snell said, I'll come play for minimum wage, I think Buster Posey would have said, no thanks. You are not a Giant. You are not a winning player.
Yeah, you know, well,
I think that's how he feels.
I get it, and he's not wrong, but I'm just looking at his game log from July. 5 innings, 1 hit, no earned.
Oh, he's a great
7
pitcher.
7 innings, 1 hit, no earned.
He's a great pitcher, but you know what?
I mean, like, wow.
Ask Juan Soto and the Yankees right now. Juan Soto, who came out yesterday and was like, I've not talked to any of my Yankee teammates since the World Series. How do you think that lands with people? And so you can be a great player and also not a right fit.
Well, especially in baseball where it's literally every day. He had a 5-start stretch, 33 innings, 8 hits allowed, 2 earned.
One of the most,
including a no-hitter.
Yeah, one of the most unbelievable runs I've watched a pitcher go on.
Yeah.
And then he also had a 2-month stretch where, checks notes, he didn't pitch at all. So
that was a month.
I get it.
And then it was another month. Yeah, and then he shut it down. Yeah.
Hey, you want to have some fun with this? And we're not done with Niners yet at all, but it'd be fun to line up some calls on this right now because Steve's gone, right? Is Steve gone? Steve's gone. All right, cool. So now we can really get into the silly trade rumors. I know Steve says, we don't need to worry about it till February.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, the sense I get is that this is being talked about now, and maybe it won't happen till closer to February, or maybe they pull the trigger earlier. I don't know, but Bobby Marks, who is not just some stiff, this is, for my money, the best NBA capologist out there. And he's with ESPN, and he's been in front offices before. And Bobby Marks tabbed the Warriors as a real possibility if the Pelicans do end up moving on from Zion Williamson. And the thought right now is that the Pelicans, whose record is dreadful, are absolutely willing to move on from Zion and from Brandon Ingram. And it's largely going to be for maybe some picks, young assets, but they just need to sort of reboot the whole thing. Marks throws this out there, because I know what you might be thinking right away. Do you have to give up Kuminga? Ready? No. You can keep Jonathan Kuminga and bring in Zion Williamson. The return would be, and this is just proposed, and it works on the salary structure, Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Pajemski, Kevon Looney. So 888-957-9570. Just for fun. Would you do that, Warrior fans?
Would there be a pick involved as well? Possibly.
I don't know, because the salary structure is the one that needs to fit. Probably.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a pick. But that's the return. Zion Williamson for Andrew Wiggins, Pods, and Looney. Warrior fans, yes or no? 888-957-9570. Where are you? Yes or no?
I'm out.
Why?
Because he gets hurt too much, and when he plays, he shoots too much. And I don't like the contract either. Next year, it's 39.4, then it's 42.1 and 44.9. Three more years of will he or won't he, and I'm not saying he's going to eat himself out of the league, but he's never gotten in the kind of shape that would allow him to sustain 82. And also, I don't think that his playing style fits what Golden State likes to do. He's a ball-dominant guy. He's an unstoppable force when he is healthy. You just literally cannot stop him when he's dribbling going toward the rim.
Yeah, his presence is huge.
Huge, literally and figuratively. Yeah. But I don't think that he is the type of player that fits in this offensive scheme.
Well, the only hesitancy that I have, because I would sort of argue, when people go, ooh, big risk, they're like, what are you risking? What are you actually risking? If we're all sitting here today going, Warriors are good, but they're not good enough. They can't score down the stretch of games. They're not going to win a championship in the remainder of Steph's career looking like this. Well, then what are you really risking? Especially if you're not giving up Jonathan Kuminga, who is the one that people are worried about is going to turn into a star. You know, Pods is, for a lot of fans I talk to, out of favor right now. Maybe that's a little early to jump ship. He had a really good rookie year. But what are you really risking there with giving that up? But here's what I'd also add to the conversation. My hesitancy is not about that. It's about what Steve just said to us. Steve literally just said that he is having a very hard time figuring out the lineup because Draymond is best at the four, and so is Jonathan. And so if you really start pushing Jonathan Kuminga into the role you want for him, that means a lot of minutes at the five for Draymond, and especially at his age, that's probably too much. So how do you figure that out? And then, oh, by the way, now you're going to bring in another four? What are you doing with that lineup? Kuminga, Williamson, and Green.
Well, you can't play them all. You can't play them all at the same time. Well,
Kuminga would have to go to the three.
And he doesn't play at the three. Steve doesn't want to play him at the three.
Correct.
And I know losing Wiggins in the trade would free up some minutes for Kuminga to potentially play as the three, but Kuminga doesn't shoot the ball from three to play the three. So, and already you don't want to play Draymond at the five that often. Just looking at Zion, since being drafted, he's played in less than 50% of all games.
I know.
For me, it's availability, which is the number one ability, and it's the contract that scares me more than the playing style.
Well, the contract is interesting because the numbers that you just threw out there, high 30s, low 40s, it sounds big, and it is, but by the time 3 years from now, is that still that big of a contract? I mean, Zach LaVine makes more than that.
Right, but in 3 years when Steph is gone and Draymond's gone, and he's in his final year making 40 whatever.
Then it's expiring.
Right, but do you want him to be the centerpiece of your team? At that point, I'd rather be paying Jonathan Kuminga 45 than Zion 45.
Maybe. I understand that. But again, the whole, and maybe you'd have the opportunity to still do that. I have no idea. You know, I don't know how the whole thing fits. But to me, that's less of a financial question, and it's more of a lineup question. Now, tucked into all that Steve just said, he's having a hard time figuring out the lineup with Draymond and Kuminga because he essentially wants both of them at the four. That is really interesting to me. And yes, it's not new, but let's tuck that point into what we're all talking about with regard to Jonathan Kuminga and his future. So I think that, not that Steve was trying to send a message there, but even still, I kind of got one out of what he was saying. And so we can talk about that next. You can certainly weigh in. Wiggins, Pods, Looney for Williamson, for Zion. Would you do it? 888-957-957 is the number. We're sponsored by California Lottery, Willard and Dibbs. So I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'll say this.
Yeah?
And that is Jonathan from the city said earlier today the Niners are stuck between a hard place and a rock.
Yep, yep.
Which I don't know why that strikes me as so funny. But I feel stuck between a hard place and a rock when you, in the Fade the Dibbers segment, pick the Niners.
Yeah.
Because
I'm 2-5 when I pick them as a favorite.
And I want to fade. I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
Yeah.
I'm not picking against the Niners. I'm not betting against the Niners. I don't do that to myself. No. It's not about being chicken. It's about creating an emotion that I don't enjoy feeling. I don't want...
You bet to win the game.
No, I don't want to watch the Niners and have a hedge inside my body where I'm like, but I won $50.
It's an emotional hedge.
Yeah, no. No, thank you. I just would rather not play.
Or as Guru would say, reverse devil tongue.
So that's why I don't like it when you do that. And it
you
also,
really don't like it because it means the Niners are going
to
lose.
Right. It's also a precursor to the Niners losing football games. So I don't
that
like
one's
it.
Not on me. If Debo catches the ball and they go up 10-3, we coast it.
You don't get to do that.
I know I don't get to do that.
No. You don't get to say it's not on you because if Debo this, because if that's how you feel, then you have to say the same thing about Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. It can't be on Kyle and Brock. If Debo catches the ball, we're winning that game.
If Devondre Campbell would have decided to play, well, never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Pull a plug on
that. Well, so there's no Niner game this weekend, but there is Sunday Night Football, and it does involve the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. And it's time to fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
It was earlier today that Steve Kerr said, hey, Dibs, your picks stink. And he was right. You're almost hot. You're hot. If you can lose one more in a row.
This would be three,
that
huh?
That would be a three-game losing streak, which as far as I'm concerned means you're hot because this is called Fade the Dibbers, not Ride the Dibbers. Let's see if he can do it, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. The Packers are 2.5-point favorite in Seattle on Sunday night. Dibs?
Well, Seattle getting points at home, and if you look at their season, they've won 4 in a row. They have a positive point differential of plus 19 at 8-5, but Lumen Field, I think that's what they call it now this year.
Maybe.
It's not nearly the home field advantage that it once was. In fact, they're 3-4 at home, and on the other side, Green Bay, 9-4, coming off a loss, needing a win to keep hope alive to maybe catch Detroit. They probably won't, but still, move up and maybe be the top wild card. They've been good on the road, 4-2, and they've got a better point differential than Seattle. This one's easy to me. You take Green Bay, you lay the 2.5 on the road, kagoosh.
I'm not celebrating.
And you're not chanting.
No.
I can't see the director of sports.
Chanting.
He's probably checked out.
Green Bay.
Randy's got a show coming up in 10 minutes. Yeah. He's busy.
Yeah.
You look flummoxed. Or maybe you've got...
I was preparing for myself to really root for Green Bay in this game because the Niners were going to win last night and it was going to matter.
It was going to matter, yeah.
And now it doesn't, and yeah. I just want to... Yeah. I'm just nauseous.
None of it matters anymore.
Yeah,
would you rather Seattle win the West or the Rams?
Oh.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to make the room upset.
No, thank you.
No, because, I mean, Arizona would be the obvious choice,
Seattle.
Right?
That's a great question.
I'd rather Seattle.
Than the Rams.
Yeah.
Just because of the smug nature of Sean McVay.
Yeah, and just Rams. Like, it's still...
And you didn't see this last night because you were at the game. I was at the game, but I had TV access. They kick a field goal to tie the game at 3, and you would have thought that he just won an Oscar. The fist pumping, the gyrating, the celebrating after a FGA, which is short for field goal, it was a little nauseating. It was a nauseation sensation.
He does that. He does that. He doesn't bother me as much as Sirianni, but
the correct answer is Seattle. You nailed it.
Yeah, we also have Rams fans in the family, and so I don't want to hear it.
The Ramley?
Yeah.
That's a 4.
It's a 3.
You don't want to hear him ram it?
I don't want... Christmas is coming, and I don't want to hear it. You're not that good, and I don't want to hear it. So... Don't act like you're fans. You've been fans for 4 seconds. You didn't go to the parade. I don't want to hear it. You don't even go to your own stadium. Your stadium is literally a feeding ground for whoever else is playing there. So I don't want to hear it. That's all. Seahawks.
Yep. Yep. One of my good friends, Marty Fisher, a.k.a. Fish, a.k.a. Pescado, he's an OG Orange County Ram fan from the 70s, so... Part of me would be happy if the Rams went to the playoffs because he'd be happy. But then again, go Seahawks.
You know what? Fight, fight, hey, hey,
okay, okay.
Fight, 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 hey.
You're fading.
I'm fading. I'm fading.
You're taking
Seattle. I'm fading. I'm fading. And I want y'all to fade with me.
I want y'all to fade with me.
Let's fade.
Yeah,
why is the number only 2.5? That's stupid.
Kenneth Walker doubtful too. It's a Charbonnet show again.
Hey,
Seattle's home, so Green Bay's a 5.5-point better team in a neutral.
Supposed to rain.
Ooh, the rain that only affects your guy.
Oh,
Rocky Poo,
my guy. Oh, he's my guy. I thought he was Kurt in Hayward Hills' guy. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing, boys? There's the two boys, the great boys of the Bay Area.
Hey, the best way to end the week is with Kurt.
How you doing? Hey, you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope they're listening. I hope Debo's listening. I hope Purdy's listening. And I hope Kyle is listening, because this is the bottom line. Debo Sanders, you asked for the ball. We gave you the ball. And you cost us the game. Purdy, you're great. You're my boy. You're Kyle's boy. But you made a lot of mistakes. Kyle, you got Purdy next year. He's your boy. And he's going to bring us to the promised land in the future. And that's about it, fellas. I hope they're listening, because it's been a disappointed season. Bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kurt, I don't know if you saw, but Devondre Campbell, the linebacker, quit on his team. He decided not to even go on the field and play. What would you tell Devondre Campbell after he quit on the Niners like that?
Well, let me go to tell you something about that idiot. Let me tell you something. I don't think ever in all the years that I've been watching football did I see some player have a nerve to tell the coach or Nick, or whoever he told, that he was a player. You know what they should have did with him? They should have gave him his walking papers this morning and kicked him right out the door. And I don't know why they didn't do that. But Nick, I blame him, the coordinator of defense. And forget about it. Nick and Campbell, they're out of here.
Yeah! Hey! Hey!
Gabagoo! Yes, Kurt.
Have a great weekend,
thank you, Kurt.
Don't ever change.
The payoff. He made us wait now.
Hey, Paisano.
Made us wait for it now.
Wow, but you led him to water.
I was trying.
And then the man took a drink.
Thank God.
It's so good.
I didn't have another follow-up. I mean, Kurt. I mean, geez, Kurt. I mean, can we just get him out of here? So, I mean, boy.
Hey, Kurt, will you just say, get out of here
totally.
For us? But
get out of here.
That's good.
He did it.
And Nick, too, though.
Forget about it.
Well, no, he rips Nick Sorensen every week.
But Purdy's the guy.
Now, remember, we didn't circle back on that. I spent all week telling you this was make or break night for Nick Sorensen.
Good point, yeah.
It's a good night for him.
Yep.
I mean, you can blame him for Devondre Campbell. I would argue, dude, 12 points, I'm taking that every time. I don't care who the opponent is. So, and Nick Bosa didn't really register. He's down to his fifth string linebacker, and they don't score a touchdown. They only score 12 points. It's a good night for Nick Sorensen last night.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt. And is it good enough for him to save his gig, or
I don't know.
Is he going to have to get out of here?
I don't know that Kyle Shanahan is hot after firing Nick Sorensen. You know, the way I've sort of understood it is, at minimum, this is a wait till the offseason thing, and maybe you do because of see who's available type of a situation. You know, if Robert Saleh is calling and he wants to come back and Kyle feels like that's necessary, then maybe. I don't think that they're as mad about Nick Sorensen as the fan base is.
Yeah, agreed. And I do think that there is a certain amount of benefit to having continuity year over year with the same coordinator, and they may think the same thing.
No, that's a fair point. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
No, I need to rest.
You sure do. You made it through the week, though.
Much better today, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting better, getting stronger.
You want to do it on Sunday?
No, what am I doing Sunday? I'm busy Sunday.
No, you're not.
It's Pop-Pop's birthday. Shout out Pop-Pop.
Oh.
Turning 81.
Okay.
Little family gathering.
How about Monday?
Oh, I'll be back Monday.
Okay. Ready to ride. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And guess what it is? It's another football hour.
Love it.
It's another day after game, which means that Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett are coming your way to react to yet another 49er loss. That is coming up next. Everybody, good luck with all those errands. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.